All right, well, welcome everyone to my talk on Saturn. My name is Eric Roth. I'm a shamanic astrologer, and I'm here to talk about one of the planets to kind of give you guys, everyone, a little bit of a, you know, preview or highlight of what shamanic astrology brings to everyone. And this one planet is something that I've dived into a lot over the years. And it kind of gives you, I'll be giving you some points and some helpful hints about how to utilize it in your life. Because everyone has it on some level in their lives. You don't even have to necessarily look at your chart too much to know that you've got that. And especially some of the points I'll be going into with this talk. I'll be diving in a little bit on the history of the mythology of what this planet and its corresponding mythology, history. And then I'll be diving into how we can use it in our lives, how it shows up in our lives. And, being able to open up to the wisdom that Saturn can bring. Astrology, and for those of you that are new to astrology I don't look at it so much as a science, but something as a tool or a philosophy or a combination of both. It's something that it's more, I would say, more in line with psychology and spirituality rather than some kind of a hard cause and effect science, because it really isn't. It doesn't really truly belong in that place. In fact, there was a book called The Game of Wizards by Charles Ponce, and he writes in the book that the ancient astrologers, based on his research, were not magicians, they were not scientists, but they were philosophers. I'm paraphrasing because I think there was a word in there that I'm missing, but that's generally what and I read about that and I thought about that and I thought, yeah, that feels more right than some kind of a hard cause and effect science that you can test in a laboratory. So everybody is born at a certain point. We all take our first breath, and that breath we capture the solar system. Everything is looked at in what we call an astrology chart. And one of those planets at that moment of our breath is Saturn, and it's placed in a certain point. And I'll talk a little bit about, where it generally is in the sky, even right now, where it was, last year at the winter solstice, which I always consider that first moment of the year where the sun is at its minimum place. It's also the place where it moved into a sign recent in this last year called Capricorn, which is something I'll talk a little bit about today. So I'll go a little bit into the origins of this planet in traditional and then in shamanic astrology. Of course, I talked about, the mythology around this and where this particular figure came from, and then how we can utilize it in our life. And that handout you've got, it shows how it shows up in your life, the things that come into form, being able to utilize it, because it's something that has both a light and a shadow. It can be a real challenge and a hardcore thing that comes into our lives, or it can be something that can ground us and help us focus and drive us to where we need to go in our life. So this is the sixth planet from the sun. This is a planet that bore many names throughout the world. That we, of course, the planets are named after the Roman gods and goddesses. But this planet is takes about 29 and a half years to orbit the sun. And that's an important figure, as I'm going to share a little bit later, that in everybody's life, it comes in at certain points, no matter what kind of a chart we might have that we were born with. There we go. So last year, at the solstice, Saturn was right here. It's now about right here, roughly. It just moved a little bit it's only moved a little. It takes about 2.5 to 3 years to move through a sign, and so it doesn't move very far across the sky, you know, in 1 year's time. These are the stars of what we call the Archer constellation, what astronomers call the Sagittarius. But signs and constellations are different. The signs themselves are tied to the Earth's seasons. The constellations are the background stars that have their own mythology and projections placed upon them. So just to give you that bit of a difference. You can see here, the planet Pluto is actually, at that time, was right here. It's actually still right around here right now because it moves really slow. And then in 2020, this planet, Saturn, is going to catch up with Pluto along with Jupiter, which is off the screen here because it moves a lot faster. And then that's a special alignment that's taking place in 2020, which I'll just talk briefly about because we have a limited time today. So the origin of this deity, this one of the more powerful myths of the origin of where this deity and this planet, which was named after that deity, came from, is from ancient Mesopotamia, the area where Persia was, or Iran, Iraq, all the other Middle Eastern countries are. In ancient Sumer, this god was either called Enki, and also, depending on what city you're in, it was also called Ea, E-A, for the name. This was the god that actually walked the earth during the golden age of humanity, the one that was reputed to teach humanity civilization, architecture, agriculture, astronomy, mathematics, laws, these kinds of things to actually create some kind of a civilization. And Saturn was a figure that actually, in its writings, you can see that it actually really wanted humanity to, thrive. It wanted it to succeed, wanted it to accomplish and thrive in its own space. And over the millennia, especially when we get into the Roman and Greco times, it ended up being exiled. When the patriarchy took over, it was exiled, it was sent off and basically never to return. Until I think in recent centuries, it's people are becoming having a greater awareness of what this particular quote god represented. And there's even writings in the book Hamlet's Mill. There's even allusions that share that this particular deity was also looked at as a feminine energy, not just a masculine. And that I found that really fascinating, and I haven't looked at yet where else that might be written, but that's something that's definitely worth more research in that zone. But this particular god, throughout the world, cultures from South America to Asia to Africa to Europe had figures that represented this particular deity that we know here in today's time as Saturn. The teacher, the great teacher. And I'm going to show you some of the names that Kronos from Greece, Enki Ea from Sumeria, Ninurta, Ninib, has some relation to Mars in that, from Assyria, Marduk, which has certain things around Babylon, although there's parts of Marduk that can pertain also to Jupiter. Viracocha, Kontiki, and others from Mesoamerica, Ptah from Egypt, and the Yellow Emperor and from ancient China. So all of these figures relate to this Saturn deity that plays such a huge role in our lives. And all of them had one thing in common. When you do the research and you look at all of the qualities that they brought in to humanity, agriculture, astronomy, astrology, mathematics, architecture, laws, measurements, and writing. Although the writing also is credited with the figure Hermes and Mercury. As I mentioned before, this is one of these figures. There's common myths that this figure walked the earth. throughout ancient times. And this is, if you want to pick out a certain time period when this happened, oh, definitely over 4,000 years ago, if not over 6,000 years ago, what they called the Golden Age of Humanity, or Golden Age of Man in certain books. And then came the patriarchy, and the myths changed, and Saturn became a bad figure, it became evil, it became something that was even associated with the devil itself. It was looked at as something negative, and because it was usurped by, according to myth, you know, Saturn's son, which was Jupiter or Zeus, and so the Zeus cults took over in the Mediterranean, and so Saturn or Kronos was left out and sent away, and so it's been like that since that time until, of course, Christianity took over, made it out to be something different. In fact, they took a lot of the gods and goddesses and they changed over, and there's, you know, history around them relating to especially the Titans and the gods and goddesses to angels and archangels, depending on what perspective you might have, or religion or sect of religion that comes up. But in shamanic astrology, and in we look at the Saturn figure as very different, because when astrology came out in the what we know as Western astrology, not the, so much the Vedic kind, although that there was a split about 2,500 years ago. The personal charts that we see that astrologers give out to people, they've only been around since about 500 BC, according to our research and records. And Saturn is a planet that is, from a visual standpoint and naked eye standpoint, the furthest out that we can see. With one exception, in that if you're under ideal conditions, you can see the planet Uranus, you know, once a year, if it's in a location where it's perfectly black and you know exactly where to look. But Saturn basically describes the limits of our vision, you know, in the solar system. And it's got rings. It has these qualities that describe boundaries and limits, and, you know, then it goes into laws and constrictiveness. But it also talks about the foundation and grounding and earth. It's connected to all of that. And so its orbit itself and the magical number 7 has been connected with the planet Saturn for ages. And so we'll go into that just a few minutes here. So for a long time, though, Western astrology, I haven't really studied Vedic astrology very much. I couldn't really speak to that. But in Western astrology, they looked at Saturn just like the Christianity influence brought it in, or the Romans. They looked at it as something that was negative, something that was, in fact, they took it even more. That was, anytime you had it on your chart, it was a bad situation, even a bad omen. Maybe Saturn was aligned with Mars. Uh-oh, look out, you know, this is going to be really bad for all of us. It's that interpretation, that judgment that comes in based on the culture that's, you know, filtered through. But in shamanic astrology, it's something that's looked at as both a light and a shadow. Everything has its own role to play. Everything has its own, you know, qualities that can help us get to our life purpose. And Saturn is one of those planets, like all planets, that can do that for us. So in this next frame, this is a lot of the stuff that's written on here that you may or may not be able to see clearly is written on forms that you have. So this is the perspective of what Saturn can bring into our lives. So Saturn, anytime, like I have my own astrology practice. I've been giving many readings. I established that in 2010. Doing readings from the shamanic astrology perspective since then. And anytime I talk about Saturn, I talk about, depending on where it's placed on the chart, I talk about a lot of these qualities that come up. And it depends, of course, on the context of what phase of life a person is in, where they're going, what they're directed to go, or if they have certain addictions or complexes that are holding them back. Saturn is a symbol of, throughout our life, of maturation, taking on new responsibilities for ourselves, aligning with our path, getting grounded, getting focused, writing a priority list for ourselves, being able to come down and say, oh, what is this? What do I need to do? And planning it out. Saturn can help us do that. And it's a matter, and this is where it can get into spiritual territory, is I use this astrology ceremonially and spiritually, is I actually go out under the sky and open up to the dialogue. I tune into it. I'm open to whatever transmissions come in. And then I can sit down and, you know, a person can create an altar around this. If they're in a specific cycle, they can put things on that symbolize what they want to manifest, maybe a vision board. And they can work with Saturn in that way. They can try to draw in that energy for themselves to say, okay, I need some constructive energy right now. I need to work with clarity. I need to get clear. What do I need to let go? What I need to shed my skin right now. What can I do to grow from that process? And that's where you open up and meditate, and maybe those answers will come in for you. And Saturn is a great tool for us to be able to experience that. Now, there are some things what we call in the shadow, and this comes from a psychological point of view, the superego and the culture and the projections about how we should be. You've got to follow the rules. You can't stray from the boundaries. You've got to color inside the lines. And, you know, sometimes the messages come in that you're not good enough, that you're not smart enough, that you're not, skilled enough to accomplish something. And a lot of those messages come from what we call a Saturn complex, and that goes into the whole superego and the culture that might be projecting upon us that, you know, we're just one little human being that really can't do anything except follow the rules and go about our business, but not actually fine-tuning into a place where we are aware of our soul, where our soul's growing. And so Saturn, one of the shadows of the Saturn. Saturn is, it's almost as if the patriarchy, which evolved from a matriarchy over 3,000 years ago, came in and took over, and through power and through fear, instilled these kinds of cultural beliefs upon us. So we're now in a time period now where we're breaking through a lot of that junk. And it's certainly causing upset and overturn in many corners of the world. But it's a long process. But it seems to be accelerating. And Saturn is one of those ones that was, you know, as it was exiled and chained away. And this is why I call Saturn the Liberator, is because we can liberate Saturn within ourselves as an archetype, as a concept, as something that's within us, and liberate our own path so that we're not beholden to what culture says we should be or what it doesn't support in our life. I'm here to help people thrive, and I love to see hear stories of people breaking through and finding who they really are in their life. And Saturn is one of the ways we can do that. Now, other planets in astrology, other signs, the zodiac, all of that can help us do that depending on how our chart is set up. But, of course, today we're just focused on Saturn. I just wanted to check the time. So, shedding our skin. This is, and getting real with our lives, accountability, and showing up for ourselves. Actually, not just setting our appointments or dates that we know that are going to help us grow in our life, but then we sit back and don't show up, or we keep canceling, or we procrastinate. And then that's when it can get a little more challenging, especially if what we're doing in that space is actually, what we're canceling is actually really helpful to us and can help us grow in our life. So Saturn can be there to help keep us grounded and on task within our own self. Not, you know, there are people that have a lot of what we call major Saturn in their lives, and they become very ambitious, very driven, and they can become workaholics through that. and they may be using it in a beneficial way in some ways, but then they could be losing focus and just working just to work. So that can happen too with Saturn. These are the ages here that you see on the screen where Saturn generally comes into a person's life, in every person's life. So there are other kinds of Saturn cycles, but these are the ones that show up. So if you find yourself in one of these age groups, or if you find yourself that you're not in one of those, you could still be in a Saturn cycle, depending on how the chart is, where your moon was or where your sun was when you were born. But each of those points, so 7 to 8 is when Saturn makes one quarter turn around the solar system. And then halfway, at age 14 to 15, roughly, three quarters, 21 to 22, and then it finally comes back at 29 to 30 years old. And then there's roughly about, in a human lifespan, throughout three times it'll come back. Unless a person lives to about close to 120 years old, then you can get a fourth one. But each of these placements is a stage of maturation for us, a time where we can really step up to the baseline of our path and really weigh what we are, who we are, what we want to be. And also, letting go, shedding our skin of what is not us anymore. Maybe what toxic elements are in our life and letting those go. In those cycles, that's the perfect time to do that. And you will get the kind of support that you need in order to do that. And sometimes it's really hard work in order to do that, especially if we're attached to certain things that are hard to let go and are complex. That's the time to actually do that work, to make that happen for our life. And then the next, this whole thing, there's three columns here, and each column represents that next journey to the Saturn return. We can even look at this in a broader perspective as like 30-year processes in our life. I know some astrologers do that in a different way. And by the age of 29 to 30, it really is a time when we finally come into our own as a full adult. At 58 to 60, that's near that time, it could sometimes be 51 to 52, where we start to move beyond where we were not only younger, but our career is winding down. Maybe we're uncovering things in ourselves that we want to do with our life, and we never had a chance to actually go for it. Well, that 58 to 60 time is a time to really look at that really deeply. And then by that third group at the end, if you've gone beyond that time period, then you've pretty much like graduated life at that point. And you could pretty much do whatever you want. That actually, at this time period, there's actually another cycle that happens around then that called a Pluto opposition, that also is a marker in that, in the generation and the generations that we're, or the age that we're living in right now. And each cycle, when you're in a Saturn cycle, what we call an initiation, can last 9 to 10 months. So if you find yourself, if you hear that you're in a cycle like that, then that's about the length of the cycle that you're in. There are other astrologers use different lengths. This is not necessarily dogma here. You depending on who you go to, you might get a different answer, but that's roughly pretty average for most. So I wanted to. I know we don't have as much time. If I had another half an hour or so, but I wanted to make sure I get some time for questions. But I do want to share that. In Saturn moved into Capricorn December 19th, 2017. It will go on through December, so about 3 years, until 2020, December 16th. And in 2020, there are times when Saturn is actually going to be connected with Pluto and Jupiter, and they're all going to be aligned up in that entire year. And in fact, I want to just move to that one. Yeah. So, just to kind of give you the big highlight. So they stay within what we call 15 degrees of each other throughout 2020, which is relatively close, and then a little bit into early 2021. And their closest time, when they're together, all three planets, they are within 4 degrees of each other. And 1 degree, roughly 1 degree, is in the sky. If you extend your arm out into space, and you hold up a finger, and that finger's width is 1 degree. A closed fist is roughly 10 degrees. So 4 degrees is really close. Now, you won't see Pluto, but you'll see Saturn and Jupiter. Yes?
You said, is there a particular date that is like
I'm going to get into that.
Oh, okay.
So early November through mid-November of 2020, during the general election, the U.S. general election, that's when they're at their closest. So I don't see that as a coincidence. I see that as synchronicity. So the last time that they had a conjunction like this that took place in this Capricorn Aquarius period was in 1284 to 1286, and they had a 6-degree orb in November of that year in 1285. So it's a really rare situation for these planets to come together like that, and it'll be another 734 years when it takes place in Capricorn again. So Capricorn energy, just to give you a description, is very much like Saturn. It's really like getting down to the bare roots, the foundation, and to work with it in such a way where it can actually be in harmony with Earth, with our culture, with our path, and getting real and not avoiding responsibility. And when you add Pluto and Jupiter into it, it makes it not only more amplified, but it's also an uncovering of the shadow elements, an uncovering of the deep underworld energy that exists here within humanity, and the uncovering of that and the wellspring that will come up. And of course, that's the next general election. But that whole year, again, is going to be, I feel, there's going to be a little more tension, major decisions that need to be made as a society, as a culture, I think as a world. Not just necessarily the United States, but as a world. And we all have the power to play a role in our lives, to make the kinds of choices that are healthy and beneficial, and not against the path that is it's being laid out for us and the growth of our conscious selves. But I wanted to kind of end the presentation on this particular slide, because this is just something to look forward to. And I work, not just I have my practice, but I also work for the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School. And we have continual education, online courses, teleclasses, webinars. And sometimes we talk about this stuff. And we'll be doing another one at the end of this year, and we'll be doing more in 2019 to talk about this upcoming alignment. And I know that there are many other astrologers that are going to be talking about this. This is going to be really, really big. So why don't we spend a few minutes with questions? If anybody's got questions, we've got some time to I've got some time to answer those. Yes?
Do all the planets ever line up together?
Not in our lifetime, and it hasn't. The one to get like that, I think we'd have to. It may never happen, and maybe not in a billion years. But there have been times where planets got close, like you get 7 or 8 planets in history. I haven't. There is data on that, but I don't have that data with me here today. But yeah, that there are things that have happened like that in history, and it's pretty spectacular. Oh, of course. Maybe not necessarily that day. One of the things about this is that when the planets line up, like in squares or conjunctions, it's not just on that day, but the after effects of that. There's a release of energy. It's like when two walls come together, or two trees come together, and they eventually, one slides off the other. And it's boom, there's the release of energy, and they fall, they collapse, so it's like, shh, out there. And it's the same with the planets, and I've seen that. Now, sometimes you can get it like right on it with the impact of it, but generally it's the after effects.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Is this conjunction kind of the reason you chose Saturn as your talk today?
One of the big reasons? Yeah. It's Saturn in Capricorn. I did a whole webinar and contributed to a online summit in December of 2017 about this particular thing. And so this was, I did a talk about this in Ashland, Oregon, at a local astrology group about a year and a half ago. So I've done this presentation before, but this is a more concentrated version of it. Yes?
I don't know if this is an easy or a difficult question. A friend of mine says that there's something bad in her astrological map because Saturn is squared against her sign. What does that mean?
So against a certain planet of hers, it's squared?
Maybe her sun.
Maybe it's against her sun sign or something.
It's neither bad nor good. But although it's what we call an astrological square, that means like, pretend the planet is on the horizon, and then there's another planet, like, at the top of the sky. That's a square. That's like one, you know, an L-shaped angle. So 90 degrees, roughly. Just to kind of describe that for everyone here. But a square produces tension. It produces challenge. And it motivates a person to actually take action, to try to do something, to move the energy. Think of it as a crossroads, a decision point. That's what it's meant to do. And it can be, some people, squares are challenging. I have no problem with saying that. But in the long term, they can actually be beneficial to get a person to be motivated to actually take action in their life, to align themselves with their purpose. It doesn't mean that if they don't have squares, they can't get there. It just means that's essentially what they signed up for before coming into this life. On some, you know, we can go into the metaphysical, spiritual questions like, why did that happen? But, so, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it's helpful, definitely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Well, I have one more.
Yes?
I've signed up for a reading, and we can talk about this in my reading, but how do you think this is going to impact Capricorns as people, not just the Earth, since it's happening in Capricorn?
Well, it's going to be mostly in the latter degrees of Capricorn, in the 20 to 29 degree range. So not all, quote, Capricorns will be right there on the front lines. But not just Capricorn, but Aries, Libra, and Cancer. Because it'll be squaring it, it'll be in opposition to it. So the impact of that is when somebody's on the target line like that, it's a turning point in their life. It's something, perhaps a renewal that's taking place, some major impact that could be a major move, a relationship that shifts in a major way, could be, you know, or something comes in to challenge that. It doesn't mean that someone's going to die or, you know, fall off the face of the earth. I mean, that's possible. It's always possible. No planet owns the death category. It can happen in any cycle. But it's meant to be intense.
Yeah.
It's meant to be intense. You can't get away from that. You may try, like an ostrich, to hide your head in the sand, but I don't think you will be able to do it for very long. Not with that kind of alignment happening. And even those that aren't personally impacted by that are in the field. They're in the zone. You're in the environment, and so you're going to see people around you being affected, and thereby, because you have relationship with the world, with people around you, with life around you, with the system, the economy, the house, everything you have a relationship with, you're going to also be influenced by that or affected. Yes?
So does this mean you say there's an after effect? Now, is there a pre-effect as well?
Yeah. There's a building up, yes, for sure. Like the tension builds, like is like a concentration point. It's like two things starting to come together that are not exactly the best of bedfellows, and tension's created, and the tension builds and builds and builds until there's a release, you know, and that's what happens. And so you'll definitely in 2020, even in 2019, because the buildup's already been starting. It's been going on for quite a while, and it's 2019 is going to be a precursor to that. Yes.
I'm in one of those age groups that I'm like 1 year short of going into the next one. So should I feel like I'm almost at a crossroads.
Yeah.
So I should be preparing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Be looking forward to that. Just making a mentally preparing for something to decide upon. Probably more than one something, depending on what's happening in your life.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? We've got just a couple more minutes before I have to start to clean up. All right. I have a booth just actually right outside the lecture room here. And I'm here until 5 o'clock today when the fair closes. But I do, you know, if you're looking to do readings with me, even though I live in Portland, Oregon, but I do remote readings, phone and over Zoom or Skype. And I do come to the Bay Area about 2 or 3 times a year now. So I'll be here next year a few times. I have friends and colleagues in the area. All right. Well, thank you for being here, everyone.
Thank you.